Luke chapter 5, and let's talk about roof-raising faith. Look with me there in verse 17. Luke 5 and verse 17. It says, "One day as Jesus was teaching Pharisees and teachers of the law who had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem were sitting there. And the power of the Lord was present for him to heal the sick. Some men carrying a paralytic on a mat tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd right in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, 'Friend, your sins are forgiven.' The Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, 'Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone?' Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, 'Why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say, "Your sins are forgiven," or to say, "Get up and walk"? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins,' he said to the paralyzed man, 'I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home.' Immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and went home praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, 'We have seen remarkable things today.'" I want everybody to look at me for just one moment, because I want to tell you that this morning is really not so much about what I have to say, but about what God wants to do in this place this morning. I believe God wants to come and visit us so that when we go home in just a little bit from now, we're going to go home saying, "We have seen remarkable things today." I believe God wants to visit us. If you want to receive everything he has for you, just lift up a hand in the air while we just pray. Father, come now by your Holy Spirit. Come and breathe life among us. Come and visit us, Lord. I pray, Father, that you'd come and do everything that's in your heart and mind to do this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. All last week, I kept asking the Lord for the word for this Sunday morning. And I kept hearing the Lord say, "Healing, healing, healing." I believe that Jesus is in this place this morning. I believe he's in the Majestic Theater this morning to release miracles of healing. In just a few minutes, we're going to begin anointing people with oil and laying hands on them for healing. But I want to take a moment and I want to share with you about the kind of faith that releases God's healing power. There's some important things that Luke 5 tells us about the atmosphere in which healing miracles occur. I find as I look at these verses, three critical ingredients. Do you know, not all houses of worship and not all worship meetings are the same. They're not all created equal. Luke tells us that there was something different going on the day that the paralytic was healed. For one thing, Jesus was in the house. He was teaching the word. He was teaching revelation about the kingdom of God. The first ingredient to healing miracles is that Jesus must be in the house. See, miracles only happen where he is welcome. Miracles only happen where he's the guest of honor, where he's the center of attention, where he's the main event. If you're going to worship, make sure you go worship at a house where Jesus is present. Jesus is here today. He's in the Majestic Theater this morning. He said if two or three or four or more of us come together in his name, he is present. He's here because he promised he would be here. He's here because I feel his presence here with us. His word says he's enthroned upon the praises of his people. That means when we worship, as we just have, the dominion of the kingdom of God spreads itself out over us, and nothing that belongs to the kingdom of darkness can stay. You know, when Jesus is in the house, sickness can't stay in the house. Depression, anxiety, worry, it can't stay in the house. It has to go. The first ingredient is that Jesus is in the house, but Luke tells us there was a second critical ingredient that day. The Spirit of God was present with Jesus in a powerful way to heal the sick. I have to tell you that these are some of the most intriguing words in all of the Gospels. They tell us that not all worship meetings are the same. Do you know, Jesus didn't heal people at every meeting. In fact, the Gospels tell us that sometimes he couldn't heal because the atmosphere wasn't right for healing. Jesus said, "I can only do and say what my Father is doing and saying at the moment." Not all worship meetings are the same. Some worship meetings are focused on celebrating God with singing and praises. Some worship meetings are focused on teaching the word. Some worship meetings are focused on prayer. Some on fellowship of the body. Some on communion. Some worship meetings are focused on dealing with practical matters in the body. But Luke 5 tells us that there was something specific that the Spirit of God wanted to do in that house that day. He was powerfully present to heal the sick. But you know what I find interesting is that for a while, nothing much was going on. The house was full. It was an SRO crowd. Do you know what SRO is? Standing room only. You know, in my childhood days, I went to a church that was full to overflowing. There were metal folding chairs everywhere you could squeeze one with somebody in it. Every Sunday, about three times as many people showed up for church as the building would hold. But it wasn't really until I started traveling overseas that I saw meetings like this one described in Luke 5, where people are packed into places like sardines, standing shoulder to shoulder so tightly that it's absolutely impossible to get one more person in the house. It was a standing room only crowd, but not everyone was standing. Scribes and Pharisees had come from Jerusalem and from towns all around to check out this Jesus. And I find it significant that Luke mentions to us that they were sitting down in the midst of an SRO crowd. It was a sign of their importance, or perhaps their self-importance. But more telling, their sitting posture was a sign of the inner posture of their hearts. Do you know, today in church, we do it exactly opposite of the way they did it in Jesus' day. Today, the teacher stands up in front of people to teach, and the students, as it were, sit down to listen. It wasn't that way in Jesus' day. I want everybody to stand up for just one moment. Stand, if you would, please. In Jesus' day, the teacher sat down and the students stood to listen. I like it. I could get very used to it. Do you know, I got to tell you the truth. By 1 o'clock every Sunday, my dogs are barking. My feet are killing me. And if you were standing up, I know you wouldn't fall asleep. Sit down if you would, please. It's significant that the scribes and the Pharisees were sitting down in an SRO crowd. Their sitting posture was an indication of the posture of their hearts. You see, the only people who sat down were either people who were teaching or people who were sitting to judge the teaching. Jesus was sitting to teach, and the scribes and Pharisees were sitting to judge what they heard. Jesus was in the house. The Spirit of God was present with him in a powerful way to heal the sick. The house was full of people, but not much was happening. Why? Because there was one critical ingredient missing, and that was someone with roof-raising faith. Three kinds of people in this story. Number one, the critics. The scribes and the Pharisees, the skeptics, those watching, judging, just really waiting to hear something that they didn't like. Do you know, some people come to church like that. They come to criticize. They come to wait till they hear something they don't like. I want to tell you something. If you come to church looking to find something you don't like, you will not go away disappointed, especially if I'm preaching that day. You will hear something, you will see something, you will find something you don't like. Here's the awesome thing about this story is that their presence didn't stop the power of God from healing. See, people with religious spirits, people with critical spirits, they can't stop the power of God when He is determined to move. It doesn't matter how many of them there are. It doesn't matter where they're sitting. The only thing that can stop God from moving is when there's no one there with faith. Jesus went to Nazareth, and the Gospels say He couldn't do much there because He couldn't find anyone there with faith. He asks in Luke 18, when the Son of Man comes, will He find faith? When God shows up at a meeting, He doesn't inquire about how many critics or skeptics have shown up that day. All He wants to know is if there is someone there with faith. There were critics that day. Another kind of person I find there were the curious. The curious. All those people packed shoulder to shoulder inside the house waiting to see the show. Waiting to see if something spectacular was going to happen. Wondering what Jesus would do. But nothing did happen until a handful of people with roof-raising faith showed up on the scene. And then they got the party started. I want you to see this. The power of God was present with Jesus to heal, but nobody was healed until that power was released by some men who came with faith. I wonder how many times when we gather to worship, God has so much more on His mind that He wants to do. We sing and we listen to the word, we give in the offering, we fellowship, and then we go home. But I wonder in how many meetings the Holy Spirit is present in a powerful way to transform lives. He's present to save, He's present to deliver, to rescue, to set free from addictions, to heal. And we miss out on what God wants to do simply because there's a lack of roof-raising faith in the house. When Denise and I were students at the Assemblies of God Seminary, the seminary held a huge week-long conference focused on signs and wonders and healing. We brought in speakers, well-known, famous speakers from all around the world who minister in these things. And at the very end of the week, Benny Hinn was there ministering. I don't want to either embrace or denounce the ministry of Benny Hinn. I just want to tell you what Jesus did. The auditorium we had held about 5,000 people, and about 15,000 people came for the meeting, trying to get in the doors. And there was reserved seating for the who's who of Springfield. Benny Hinn had taken credentials with our denomination, the Assemblies of God, at that time, and it was very controversial. And so the who's who of our denomination came, the officials and the seminary and college professors, and there was all kinds of people in the crowd. There were critics and skeptics. There were people who had come just waiting for him to say something they didn't like. There were a lot of people there who were just curious. They wanted to see what fireworks might happen. They wanted to see what phenomenal thing might happen. And I want to tell you, there were some spectacular things that happened. But on the very front row was one of our professors and his wife. It was actually Dr. Jim Wood from Greenwich. It was his brother, Dr. Paul Wood, and his wife. Dean Wood had a blood-borne illness that was sapping the life out of her body, and she was on her way to dying. And among all the critics and all the curious, there was Dr. Paul Wood and his wife sitting on the front row with their heads quietly bowed because they had to have a miracle, and they had to have it right then. I can't tell you what else God did that night. I can tell you that there were some spectacular demonstrations, but I can tell you this one thing I know. Dean Wood left that meeting completely healed by the power of Jesus. Because she came with faith. As I look at these verses, I find some qualities of roof-raising faith, and I want to share them quickly with you. Some qualities of roof-raising faith. The first quality of roof-raising faith is that it is faith that only Jesus has the answer. It's faith that only Jesus has the answer. What's stunning about these four men was their unstoppable determination to get to Jesus. Nothing could deter them. Nothing would deny them. They had to get through to Jesus because they were absolutely convinced that he was the only one who could help them. Beloved, when you're convinced that only Jesus can help, you will pursue him and you will pursue only him. You see, roof-raising faith is not faith in the power of faith. It's not faith in any and every kind of spirituality. Roof-raising faith is faith in Jesus Christ and in his power alone. You know, the Greenwich Hospital employs New Age practitioners who go from room to room offering to pray for people. But the prayers they're offering are not prayers in the name of Jesus. They're doing New Age meditation and Eastern healing techniques. You ought to be careful about who lays hands on you. You ought to be careful about who touches you. Whatever is not of faith is of sin. Remember some years ago I was called to the hospital to minister to a woman named Nancy who was dying of advanced liver cancer. When I came into her room, there was a New Age practitioner in her room rubbing crystals all over her body. And when I walked into her room, the Spirit of God inside of me disagreed with whatever spirit was inside of her. She quickly packed up her things and she left, and I looked around the room, and the room was full of books on Eastern religion and all kinds of healing. There was incense burning and all kinds of objects everywhere. And I talked to Nancy for a few minutes and I prayed for her and I left. And after I left her room, the Spirit of God spoke to me, said, "Glenn, I want to heal Nancy, but I cannot do it while she is calling on the name of any other God. I want you to go back and tell her." Beloved, listen, when somebody's dying of advanced liver cancer and God says, "I want to heal you," you better know you've heard from God. I went back the next day and I told her the word that the Lord had given me. And she received the word and she had everything cleared out of her room. The crystals, the books, the incense, everything. She had it all taken out of her room. I found out later that what the family really wanted me to do was they wanted me to come and pray over her in tongues as if that was some other magic formula for healing. But she received the word of the Lord and she had all that junk cleared out of her room. And I began to explain to her about the difference between Christian meditation and Eastern meditation. The goal of Eastern meditation is to empty your mind. Now, personally, I don't find that very difficult to do at all. I just get up from where I'm sitting and walk to the other room, and I've already forgotten why I got up and walked there. People pay all kinds of money for lessons about how to empty your mind. My mind just empties out automatically many times a day. The goal of Christian meditation is to fill your mind with the truth of the Word of God. In fact, actually, the biblical words for meditation mean to orally repeat Scripture, means to repeat it aloud. So I explained this to her and she said, "Would you help me to do this?" And so someone gave me a box of scripture promises, especially for Nancy. And so I reached into the box and I pulled out one of them, and it just happened to be a little verse from the book of Romans chapter 10 that says, "If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved." I read the verse to her and she said, would you help me learn it? And so we repeated it several times together, saying it over and over. And I said, Nancy, you try. And she took the card and she started out by reading it. And then she started stammering and trying to say the words of the verse from memory. If you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. I'll never forget what happened next. All of a sudden, she started saying the verse over and over and over again, faster and faster, with more cadence and more rhythm. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Tears started coming out of her eyes. She sat bolt up in her bed and she said, I shall be saved. I shall be saved. I'm saved. I'm saved. I'm saved. There were two things that happened in that moment. The first thing that happened is Nancy got saved. Jesus filled her heart to overflowing and she became a believer in him. The second thing that happened was that Jesus healed Nancy of liver cancer. 2 weeks later, she walked out of Greenwich Hospital completely healed by the power of Jesus Christ. Faith that raises the roof is faith that believes that Jesus only has the answer. When you believe that, you will do anything you have to do to get to him. The woman with the issue of blood believed that. And even though she was weak and anemic from her continual bleeding, she pushed through the crowd till she reached the hem of Jesus. The man called Zacchaeus climbed a tree so he could get a glimpse of the Savior. A blind man sitting by the road heard that Jesus was passing by and he began shouting like a crazy man, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. The people told him, be quiet. You're making a fool of yourself. You're making a scene. But he shouted all the louder, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. When you have faith that only Jesus has the answer, you'll do anything you have to do, even if it means raising the roof. Second quality of faith, of roof-raising faith, is faith that works by love. The room was full of religious people, rule writers and rule enforcers, even though secretly most of them were rule breakers. They thought that their rules pleased God, but Jesus wasn't moved by their rules. Paul wrote to the Galatians and he says, rules don't please God. The only thing that counts is faith working by love. Something happened when Jesus saw the faithful love of those four men for their paralyzed friend. His heart was moved. How many long miles had they carried him? Maybe they started off at the beginning of the day singing, he ain't heavy, he's my brother. But by the time they got to the house, they were singing, help, I need somebody, anybody. Must have taken them a while to carry him all that way because the meeting was well underway by the time they got there. The house was already full to overflowing. They couldn't get another car in the parking lot. The singing was over. The offering had been taken. The preaching was going on. How long did they spend pleading with people thronged around the house? Please let us through. Our friend, we must get him to Jesus. Please just give way. Could you move over just a little to the left, just a little to the right? I don't know whether you've ever tried to work your way through an enormous crowd, but how long did they try to circle the house and find a door or a window, some way to get in with that stretcher? How long did they stand outside trying to figure out what to do next? They were weary and they were discouraged, but they would not be denied. And then they noticed the steps going up the outside of the house to the roof. And all of a sudden, they got a new tune, Up on the Roof. They said, if we can't get in the door, we'll just raise the roof. And up the steps they began to climb, hefting that stretcher with them. They refused to quit until they waved their friend right in the face of Jesus, where he could not ignore them. I wonder who you dragged to church this morning. I wonder who you're carrying a burden for prayer. I wonder if you're praying for a spouse or your kids or for a family member or a friend. Don't you quit. Don't you give up praying for them. You keep waving them in Jesus' face until he has to stop what he's doing and touch them. Do you know your faith can release miracles on behalf of others? Look at me. This is good teaching right here. I'm about to preach myself happy. Look at me. Your faith can release miracles on behalf of others. When Jesus saw that stretcher coming down through the ceiling, he said he saw their faith. Who's the there? I don't think it's really the paralyzed man. Maybe he's included, but to be honest with you, he didn't do a whole lot but lie around. When he saw the faith of these four friends, Jesus was moved and he began releasing miracles. Do you know that there's faith working by love all over this campus this morning? It's been working all over this campus since last night. There's people who stayed up late last night to prepare to teach and minister to children. There's people who got up early this morning and came here to serve. There's faith working by love out in the parking lot. Men waving batons trying to make some sense out of the mess out there. Hey, be nice to the parking lot guys, please. If they ask you to stop, will you stop? Don't run them over. Don't get mad. You know, don't give them any one-finger salutes out there in the church parking lot. All right, no road rage out there. That's faith working by love. There's faith working by love in the nursery. There's faith working by love in children's church. There's faith working by love in the coffee bar. There's faith working by love all over this place. People came here to serve today because they believed that God would show up, and they believed that people who need God would show up. See, your faith can release miracles on behalf of others. Faith that raises the roof, faith that only Jesus can, faith working by love, and faith that Jesus will. It's one thing to believe that Jesus can. It's another thing to believe that he will. There was something that those four men understood by faith. They understood that Jesus was a friend of sinners. They understood that Jesus would heal, not because they were good, but because he is good. They understood that Jesus was there to heal sick people, that he's here for the addicted, for the afflicted, for the accused and the convicted. They were driven by a faith that believed if they could only get their friend to Jesus, he would. And they believed that he would not mind them messing up his meeting with their passionate display of faith. It took faith to believe that Jesus wouldn't be angry. They ruined a perfectly good sermon. You know, it's hard enough to preach when there's a crying baby in the house. I can't imagine how hard it is to preach when somebody's up tearing through your roof. Jesus is teaching. The critics and the skeptics are sitting around judging. The crowd is curiously watching, and all of a sudden they hear this scraping and hammering and cutting. They hear voices up over them. They don't know what's going on. All of a sudden bits and pieces of plaster start falling into the middle of the room. And the next thing you know, a hole opens up in the ceiling and they ruined a perfectly good sermon. I don't think Jesus minded being interrupted. I think when he saw the hole in the roof of that building, I think he said, good, finally, somebody with some faith showed up in this place. Now let's get this party started. Would to God that people would come to church with such desperate faith that Pastor Dan couldn't even get through the song service before the power of God starts falling in the house. Would to God that Pastor Nick couldn't get through the offering, that I couldn't get through the sermon, that I'd have to quit at point number one or point number two, because people have made a connection with God by faith and His Spirit starts falling in this place so that we can't go on with our agenda anymore. Happened in the book of Acts, chapter 10. Peter was preaching at Cornelius' house. Perfectly good sermon. And it says in Acts 10, verse 44, it says, while he was still speaking, the hearts of those Gentiles believed on Jesus, and the Spirit of God fell in that place, and they began worshiping and speaking in other tongues. He never got to finish. I don't think he'd mind. Believe me, I would love to not finish my sermon as much as you would love for me to not finish my sermon. Faith that raises the roof is faith that believes. I hope the Holy Spirit comes and starts interrupting us. I hope he starts interrupting us so that 8:30 service runs right into 10, and 10 runs right into 11:30, and 11:30 runs right into the Spanish service in the afternoon. He can interrupt us anytime. He's just waiting for some people with faith to show up so that we can get this party going. When the power of God is present and it is met by faith, something is released in the house. His authoritative word is released. Jesus speaks three authoritative words. I'm going to give it to you fast, and then we're going to start praying. Three authoritative words. The first authoritative word was a word of remission. It says that when he saw the faith of those four friends lowering the paralyzed man in front of them, something moved in his heart, and the power of God was present, and it connected with their faith, and it released an authorized word, first of all, of remission of sins. Jesus said to the man, "Your sins are forgiven you." Quite frankly, the crowd was disappointed. They were hoping for something more spectacular than that. They were hoping for something showier than that, than to talk about sins. But Jesus did the greatest miracle first. Can I tell you something, beloved? The greatest miracle Jesus can ever do in the life of any man or any woman, any person, is to forgive their sins and to save their souls for all of eternity. That's the harder miracle, Jesus says here in Luke 5. It's the harder miracle because it cost Jesus everything. It's the harder miracle because it cost Jesus his very life. He who knew no sin became sin for us. He bore our sin in his body on the tree. It was the harder miracle because it cost Jesus everything he had, his very life. And it was the greater miracle because it lasted forever. You see, the miracles, whatever miracles Jesus does for you and me here on earth, they last only as long as life on earth. If he heals my relationships, if he heals my finances, even if he heals my physical body, it will only last as long as life on earth. But if he saves my soul and forgives my sin, it will last for all eternity. The paralyzed man, his legs were healed that day, but eventually they succumbed to the process of aging and they weakened once again until they stopped in motion when his eyes closed in death, but his sins were forgiven and his soul was saved, and that lasted forever. That was the greatest miracle of all. When faith meets the power of God, authoritative words begin flowing. Not only did Jesus speak words of remission, forgiveness of sins, but he spoke words of repeal. Jesus spoke a word that undid the consequences of sin. Everybody look at me. Jesus died not just to cover your sins. He didn't die just to forgive your sins. He died to undo the consequences of sin in your life. That's good right there. The consequences in your relationships, the consequences in your finances, the consequences in your physical health, the things that you've borne because of the sins that you've committed, Jesus died to undo those things. He repealed. He said to the paralytic, "Your sins are forgiven. Now get up. I undo what sin has done to you." Jesus is here in this place. Faith is here to meet His power, and He's here to undo some consequences. You know, there have been people that have been healed of AIDS. There have been people that have been healed of bloodborne illnesses, Hep A, Hep B, because Jesus is that kind of a God. And the third word of authority Jesus spoke was a word of restoration. He said, "Pick up your mat and go home." And the man went home restored. He was restored to his family. He was restored to abundant and joyful life. When faith meets the power of God, the authoritative word of God is released in that place. "I sent my word and I healed their diseases." Everybody look at me. Jesus is here in this place this morning. Jesus is in the majestic theater this morning. His presence is here. His power is here with us to heal. Let's meet Him with some roof-raising faith. I want you to stand on your feet if you would, please. And we're going to just worship Jesus. And we're going to invite His presence here to heal. We were singing a song at the end of the last service. "You deserve the glory. You deserve the honor. Lord, we lift our hands in worship." Come on, Pastor Dan, help us. Let's just begin to worship Jesus in this place.
You deserve the glory and the honor. Lord, we lift our hands in worship as we praise your holy name.
You deserve the glory.
Lord, come on, lift up your hands all over this place. Would you just worship Him? Come on, church. I need you to lift your voices. Come on, lift your voices. Give glory, give honor to Him. We worship you. We worship you. We worship you. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. Come on, if you have the gift of speaking in other tongues, I want you to lift up your voice and just minister to the Lord. Sing with the tongue of men and of angels in this place. Shada la ma shada la 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 ma shada la 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 ma shada shada la 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 ma shada la 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 ma shada la 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 ma shidi shada la la ma shidi ya la 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 ma shidi ya la 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 ma shidi shada la 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 ma shidi ya la 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 ma shidi shaga la 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 ma shidi ya la 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 la. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Come on, just say, "Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit." I want you to just bow your heads with me all over this place. Just bow your heads with me all over this place. Just before we begin praying for people to receive healing. The first miracle Jesus wants to do in this house is the greatest miracle of all. That's to forgive someone's sins and to save their soul. That's the greatest miracle. I wonder if you're here today and you've never invited Jesus into your heart. You've never asked Him to be your Lord and your Savior. You've never asked Him to wash your sins away. and to cleanse you. Before he does anything else today, that's the greatest miracle he can do. I wonder if there's someone here, maybe you prayed that prayer, but you've been far away from the Lord, and today you just need to come back to him and you need to start fresh and do it again for the first time. That's you while heads are bowed. You've never invited Jesus in, or you know you just need to come back to him and ask him again. While heads are bowed, I want you to lift your hand high wherever you are. Lift your hand up high wherever you are. Hands all over the place. Come on, is anybody else? Lift your hand high wherever you are. Is there someone else? More hands. Anybody else? Anybody else? Lift your hand high. You know you need to ask Jesus in. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Come on. Anybody else? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's all lift up our hands all over this place together. I'm going to lead us in a prayer, and I want to ask if you would pray with me. Everybody repeat after me, and we're going to help some people take that first step of faith towards the greatest miracle of all, having their sins forgiven by Jesus. Come on, I'm going to lead us in a prayer. You repeat after me and pray. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you loved me so much. I know you love me because you sent Jesus. Jesus, I believe. I confess with my mouth, you are Lord. I believe in my heart, you raised from the dead. Jesus, I need you. You're the only one who can help me. Jesus, wash me. Forgive my sins. Cleanse me. Fill me. Jesus, I invite you now to be my Lord and the leader of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, give the Lord a big praise in this place. Thank you, Lord. 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 Now I want to ask all of our prayer teams to come, deacons and any pastors that are here in this service. Would you come? Steve, you can, Schildwachter, come and minister with us if you would. Come and minister. Come stand up on the steps if you would, please. The power of God, this is what the Lord gave me for today. The power of God is present in this place to heal the sick. If you need a healing in your body, you know what? First of all, I want to just see. Holy Spirit told me that there's somebody here that woke up this morning and you said specifically, I wonder if today is my day. I wonder if today is my day. And the Holy Spirit wants you to know, he heard when you said those words this morning, and he wants you to know today is your day. If you're here, I want to pray for you first. Is that person here? You woke up this morning and you said specifically, I wonder if today is my day. Is that person here? God bless you. Is that you, sweetheart? Come. Is there anybody else? You woke up and you said, I wonder if today is my day. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I need a couple ushers here to help us, if you would, please. Thank you, Lord. Can I get a couple ushers to come and help us? So you can come and help us, whether you're on duty, ushers, or whether you're not on duty. Pastor Nick, anoint these two ladies with oil. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Shagaraba shiki. Come on, lift up your hands to Jesus. Come on, just minister to him for one moment in the spirit. You need healing, come down right now. Come down right now. Come on, sing You Deserve the Glory. Come all the way down, right down to the front. Come all the way down, all the way down. Come all the way down, please. All the way down to the front. Prayer teams, I want you to just go. I want you to just go and anoint with oil, prayer teams, okay? Just go through quickly and anoint every person with oil, all right? Just go quick. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Thank you, Jesus.
There is no one else you are praying. There is no one else like you. You are great.